And I know kind of over the months we've had conversations, and I know you can't answer because I'm holding onto the microphone, which puts you in a really vulnerable place, doesn't it, really? Well, actually, you've got, yeah, that's true, you will get your own back, about what it means to kind of be a Christian in the relief sector, particularly in the light of kind of some of the crisis and some of the corruption that's come to light recently, making it a hard place to work. And I just thought it would be really informative and helpful for us to get our head round what it means to be a follower of Jesus in that situation. And so Sarah has kindly agreed to speak. So just a very warm welcome, and we really hope you feel comfortable and at home. Can I pray for you, and then I'll give you the microphone and you can get your own back. Lord, just thank you for the place you've put Sarah, kind of working in Plan International, and for the opportunities that she has to serve you and to make a difference amongst some of the most disadvantaged people in our world. And I just want to pray that you just give her freedom now, and a sense of kind of being at home to be able to share the things you've given her with us this morning. Amen. Welcome.
Thanks very much, Chris. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, as Chris says, I should be used to doing this sort of speaking by now, but I never am, so bear with me. I'm talking this morning about speaking truth to power. And I came across this survey not that long ago that said truth is the most valued currency worldwide, according to a survey that was done last year of 10,000 people in 100 countries. And that, for me, was quite extraordinary. Truth, the most valued currency worldwide. The Oxford Dictionary says truth is what is true or is in accordance with fact or reality. And the Bible, as you can imagine, has a lot to say about truth. I found over 130 verses that mentioned truth. But the one that jumped out for me was John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus is truth. And it's him, I believe, we need as a compass when it comes to identifying the truth. Because actually, to be honest, it's not always clear. And it's important we know the truth and we can see it, because we're living in an age where what is presented to us is increasingly under scrutiny and questioned. Probably, I think, more than any time ever in our history. We have access to information that the people before us have never had access to. And then as a result, we've seen institutions fall from grace as exposés of their operations are revealed. And public trust has been shaken in our politicians, the media, banking, and now, unfortunately, the charity sector. So my name is Sarah West. I am a Christian, and I work as a director of a large global children's charity. And as Chris said, the reason I'm talking to you today is because Chris and I have been speaking over the last few weeks about the recent revelations about Oxfam, Save the Children, and a number of the other big international NGOs, charities. With Oxfam, particularly the appalling behaviour of a few aid workers who took advantage of the vulnerable in Haiti during the earthquake in 2010. And then the subsequent revelations that the top of the organisation did know about it, but they didn't respond appropriately. And that's led the public to question whether overseas aid organisations can actually be trusted, whether the money that you give us is used well and wisely, and who we're hiring and what are they like. People have definitely stopped giving to Oxfam and to other charities, and they are questioning where their money is going and what support they perhaps might provide in the future. So Chris and I were discussing a lot of this as it hit the front pages and what our response should be as Christians in light of this. And the Bible gives us some guidance and truth about how we as Christians should respond and what happens when we don't respond. So John 14 verse 7 says, "The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Romans 2 verse 8 says, but for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. So when I look at the aid sector and how we've behaved, it's generally the result of a very few bad apples. And that, sadly, you can find those everywhere, including the church. But it's also been people who are ignoring or hiding the truth. And the truth has finally been exposed, and about the behavior of some of the people in aid agencies. And it's been incredibly painful for us as a sector. It's shameful, right? I'm not standing up here making any excuses. It's completely and utterly unacceptable. And we are right to apologize, and we do. And it's meant that we've had to examine our own behaviors as both as individuals within the sector and as organizations. And that's absolutely no bad thing. It's a good thing. But as a result, politicians and the media, they've had a field day questioning the work we're doing and spreading a mixture of truth, half-truth, and sometimes lies, which has seen untold damage, most importantly, on the people we're here to help. So we've had a lot of chance to think about why did this happen and what's going on, and it's complex. But I believe it's because we became afraid of speaking truth to power within our organizations. Because the people who did speak out were not believed. And the colleagues who turned away from them, the troublemakers, the whistleblowers, don't really want anything to do with that. Senior leaders in our sector had lost sight of those we are here to serve. And it's a frightening thing, right, to challenge an organization or senior people on why they are behaving the way they are, or questioning that behavior, because you always have a lot to lose. And that's why, as a Christian, I believe you can do it, but do it in God's strength. He will equip you and guide you with the right timing. So we think about the reading that we had today, and it was chosen because it's one of my favorite examples from the Bible of truth standing up to power. And it's Esther who stood up and spoke out on behalf of the Jewish people to stop their persecution. As you know, she was a Jew, but her husband, the king, didn't know that. And she told him and pleaded for the lives of her people. Now, she could have been killed for this act, but she wasn't. God meant it for good for such a time as this. And throughout my career, that phrase, for such a time as this, has truly resonated as I've seen peace negotiations take place. I've seen negotiations to get aid to places. And it's, for me, that phrase God keeps bringing back, for such a time as this, in his strength, we can move forward. Queen Esther saw her God-given opportunity and she seized it. And as a result, a whole nation was saved. She risked her life to speak truth, and I've been very lucky to meet many activists over the years who've also risked their lives to speak truth. Because when we don't, bad things happen, and I believe that's what's caused our sector to become unstuck. We stopped being truthful with each other, with the public, and you know why? Because we were afraid of the backlash. We were worried. Well, we got the backlash anyway. And we stopped thinking we needed to clearly explain what we're doing and how. Having said that, truth can be subjective. And it's really, really sad because the truth hasn't been fully represented. And as you would expect, the headlines have been sensationalized in some cases. But where I come back to is that it's the poor that's been the hardest hit as a result of this. Oxfam has had to make hundreds redundant here and around the world, as people have pulled their financial support. I don't blame them for doing it, but it is perhaps a little short-sighted. I was in Nepal earlier this month, and 100 of the Nepali staff have lost their jobs. That's all their families. And then when you look at the impact of the programs that are being shut down, once again, the vulnerable are thrown on the scrap heap because of the British public outrage. It's hard, right, when you know that the majority of AIDS staff are wonderful, caring people who are devastated, as we all are, that people have stopped giving. And this is meaning that the vulnerable are suffering again. So in all of that context, what does that mean for me as a Christian? It means that we have to be different. I have to be different. I have to have a different attitude. I can't cut and run when things get tough, because that's when we need support more than ever, right? As Christians, we're called to speak the truth and to give to the poor. And even though the poor will always be with us. There are many people in this country who don't believe that the UK should be giving away as much money as 0.7% of GDP on overseas aid. And I completely respect the arguments on both sides. There are some very strong arguments for, and there are some strong arguments against. But for me personally, as a Christian, if I don't believe that God can do something with the little that I give, what does that say about my faith? And that's why I think our response as a Christian has to be different. I'm not going to tell you how lucky we are. You know that in the UK. You know that people are in positions that some of us cannot even begin to understand. The Bible has got a lot to say about poverty and how we're to treat the poor. For example, Proverbs 31 verse 9 says, "Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." Psalm 82 verse 3 says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed." So for me, it's pretty clear that as Christians, we're called to speak the truth and to give to the poor. Now, more than ever, I believe that we should be standing up to fake news, not accepting the truth that we read, not blindly following others and their views and opinions, no matter how supposedly worthy they are or whether they appear on our televisions or not. We must seek the truth ourselves and ask God for his guidance. So I don't know how you're feeling, but the world definitely feels at a bit of a crossroads to me. We've got rising nationalism, anti-migration, targeting of the other. And we see some of the most detestable people in power around the world. And they are creating discord, disharmony, and disunity. But there's always a cost, isn't there, to following God's plan and to speaking truth. Back in the mid-1990s, I was working at the Environmental Investigation Agency, doing undercover investigative work to catch people lying and then exposing the truth in the media. And it was all around smuggling of ivory, timber, chemicals. We did a lot of work on the depletion of the ozone layer. But in order to do this work, I had to assume identities. And I was attending a church that was very much, and I was very much part of the community there. I felt very comfortable being part of that community. I was exposing the truth. But yet I was questioned to the methods that I was using to expose the truth. Was it really godly? I was asked. Aren't you lying to get people to tell you the truth? The Christians that I were with seemed to have real difficulty in accepting that what I was doing, I totally believed was God's calling and his work, because it didn't conform to the standards of what we might think is operating. Elsewhere, people would laugh and joke about my do-gooding. Back in the 90s, I was supposed to go and get a proper job and that I would see the light eventually. So doing what you believe costs. However, God meant it for good, and I've been able to see him work in the most extraordinary situations and expose truth and turn things around for good. Now, people are also talking about global warming and the pollution of the seas, and I'd love to say that I told you so, but maybe I wasn't so crazy. I'd like to think perhaps God had it a bit more under control than I did. So while the criticism I faced wasn't really that harsh, especially in light of the persecuted church, a bit of ridicule and questioning wasn't really tough, but it's all relative, right? And I was comforted along the way by the fact that Jesus was misunderstood. He faced criticism, and Paul was the ultimate militant. He didn't do anything because he thought it looked good. He did it because he believed he was called by God to do it. So criticism will come your way everywhere. But if you have God beside you and you submit and pray, I believe you come through, as I have. And I just hold on and remember that Jesus is truth. So I want to draw to an end by sharing with you some good news. What the aid organization, governments, and people like you and me have achieved together because we give our resources to the poor. Life expectancy has increased from 47 to 71 years since 1950. The number of people living in extreme poverty has dropped from 2.25 billion in 1971 to 750 million today. Nearly all children are now attending primary school. And in 25 years, the proportion of adults in the world who can read and write has increased from 75% to 86%. There is so much amazing, incredible, wonderful work being done in this country and overseas. Let's not allow ourselves to become cynical. We need to tell of what God is doing, because it is amazing. And so when people you know maybe start complaining or are very critical about charity or aid sector or saying we shouldn't be sending funds abroad, please tell them that it's the poor who suffer when we stop giving. Not people like me in my job, it's the poor. The aid sector is rightly going through an overhaul. Our practices are being scrutinized, and we know that we've lost a lot of trust and respect from the public. But most of us are absolutely diligent in using the resources we are given, and we do not take them for granted. And we and I am 100% committed to being there to supporting our beneficiaries, whether we are Christians or not. The church has a wonderful role in keeping the truth held high, showing the love that we are called to show by supporting the vulnerable here and abroad, by being forgiving, by encouraging others. Christ does this for us, and we are called to do likewise. And thank you for listening this morning, and thank you for giving me a chance to apologize and also explain a little about what's been going on in our sector. Thank you.